We humans love to divide things in two, like binary thinking. The haves and have-nots, the yes and the nos. We even do it in political ways, and we do it in pretty much every part of our life. And there's lots of different ways in which to do it. One such way is, I'm sure you've heard, is zero-sum game theory. It's actually a game theory that is applied to economic systems and even political systems and even to life itself. So zero-sum game says that if you win, I lose. If you lose, then I win. So it's a zero sum. You can't have more than the sum of the parts. And so you apply it in relatively straightforward places. So it's when applied to life, it looks like have not have. Or applied to the political system is you win, I lose. You lose, I win. There's nowhere in between, right? So it's a have and have not, totally binary system. When it's applied to politics, it becomes incredibly destructive when taken to extremes. And we're living through that time right now. It's just a reality until we get a little bit smarter about the fact that life actually isn't a zero-sum game. But this is not about politics. If we apply it to religion, it's equally as detrimental. If you have, then I don't have. So therefore, you must be in or you must be out. You must not be saved, I am. It's actually it's a simplistic way of thinking of life. And when we think deep down about it, it actually doesn't make any sense. But we still apply it, especially when we argue. When we argue, and it could be about anything in religious, we tend to go into this zero-sum game. You're in or you're out. It's this binary system, black or white. And once we actually peel back and actually apply any of these theories to real life, we know it doesn't work at all. But for argument's sake, we keep it in our mind. So that's what these Sadducees are doing today with Jesus. They're playing the zero-sum game. They're trying to catch him to say something so they can trip him up and then basically hang him on a cross, which they eventually did. But understand that the root cause is that we don't want to make things simple. It's easier to make things simple, so you're cut off. And so that's what the Sadducees would do. In this particular case, it was about resurrection. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees differed on their understanding. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. They said there was no resurrection. So they had to, that was their belief. So they had to find the arguments to run that way. Does that sound familiar? You have an end you want to get to. So everything funnels and filters to your desired end. It doesn't really make any difference what the facts are. That has to do with your desired end. And they've been doing it in religion for thousands of years. And we still do it today. And it's most destructive, and it is not what Jesus ascribed to, ever. Anytime he put in a situation this, he immediately muddied the waters, stirred up the waters, and says, really, well, it's not quite that simple. And he muddies the waters and says, and in the end, he always comes down to one mercy. You're thinking as human beings do. You got to think as God does. God doesn't divide these things into one or two. He understands the intentions behind people's hearts. There's no in or out in God's view. And this is what he's saying. There's no God of the living, God of the dead. That's who's trying to get them. He says, God is of all. All are alive in God's view. Living and dead. God is a God of the living and the dead. So what does that mean for us today? Like, how do we apply this teaching towards? How do we avoid the zero-sum game in our own life, especially in the ways of talking of our religion? Well, we have to, first of all, resist and strongly resist this narrow mindset everything is a binary system, in or out. Because it just doesn't generally work that way. Once we start to apply it to human beings, you realize it just doesn't work. God has an enormous grayscale, and his mercy lays on over that every single time. But what does that really mean to do? Is there, because what ends up happening is we tend to do what we do. Oh, so there's no rule at all then. See, you go back to binary thinking. Oh, so that means there's no rules. So that's it. Throw out the rules. No rules don't apply. Of course, that's not what I said. But that's where we want to go. We can't handle the grayscale. So we throw it back out. So, well, there's no rules in that church. But that's not exactly what it is. Of course, there's rules. But we apply mercy to that. And in the end, the resurrection, according to Christ, is open to all who want it. The resurrection is open to all who want it. Even to the last breath, we get a choice. Now that may deeply disturb many of us who've been hard at working out our life in accord to that resurrection. But that shouldn't bother us. Because we've lived the joy, as that responsorial psalm just said, we lived out the joy of having known that I'm going to have the resurrection. That should change our lives, period. We should be elated and full of joy, walk around like as if we're walking on air, knowing that we have eternal life because we will choose it. Now, do we have some purification to get there? Absolutely. None of us are going to get there straight away, but we know that's real. Now, if somebody doesn't realize that until the last minute, what loss is it to us that they get into? This is not a zero-sum game. If they get in, it doesn't mean we don't get in. In fact, the more the merrier. The more who come into eternal life in heaven, we should be elated. Why? Because then all of humanity is united with God, the Creator, who made us. Now, resist the binary thinking of what I just said. Would you want to say, I threw out the rules? I didn't. It's just that we need to celebrate with joy those who are saved anywhere on the journey. But most important is that we must live the resurrection here and now, truly believing that we have access to eternal life with Christ forever. Now, if we really believe that and we accept that as we come to say, which we claim we do, then today as we walk out of here, let's make sure we look like we believe it. And not look like we just attended a funeral. No, I'm serious. You sometimes watch people come out of church and you think we just tortured you like the people in the Maccabees. We aren't torturing. At least I hope I'm not torturing anyone. Some of you, well, Father, that's a homily. I don't know. So today, let us at least let that knowledge of faith inform us. And to be on fire with the joy of the resurrection. Now, I don't know, stuff is going to start happening. As soon as we get outside the door, it's going to chip away at that. I get that. I understand that. But at least from the moment and here to the car, we ought to be smiling. We ought to be joyful until the first bad thing happens. Which might be when you get to the car. I get that. But at least we should be walking out the doors joyful. Is that agreed on? So no modeling faces. We walk out of here, we're going to be unhappy. I'm going to hold you to it. Because that's what it's about. The joy of the gospel is the joy of the resurrection. Is the joy of our faith. That's what we live by. It's not a zero-sum game. We all have it.